Thanks for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention to organic farming. You know, organic farmers are always looking for ways to grow local demand for their crops. And starting today, as a matter of fact, UW-Madison's Organic Agriculture Field Days will help farmers and consumers find each other, and we're talking about that today, about these organic agriculture field days with Erin Silva. She is program leader for the Organic Grain Reserve and Information Network, OGRAIN. It hosts events, and Erin's a professor, extension specialist at UW-Madison's Department of Plant Pathology and the Cliff Bar Endowed Chair in organic agriculture and outreach. And we've had a chance to work together on a thing or two over time. And so it's great to have her with us today. And I hope you'll join in as we move along today. Would you buy more locally produced organic produce if it was readily available? Do you assume, maybe you think it's too expensive, or is it more expensive than other foods? If so, do you understand why? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Erin Silva, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Thanks, Larry. I'm so glad to join you today. Excited to talk about our programming.
Yeah, it's really cool. This is today is the first of five UW-Madison's Organic Agriculture Field Days. And the field days will be taking place throughout Wisconsin and Illinois. So tell us about the field days. What can people kind of expect?
Sure. So the field days are focused on organic grain production. UW-Madison has extensive programming to support organic farming throughout Wisconsin. And there's a good reason why we do that. Wisconsin has long been a leader in organic agriculture. Behind California, we have the second highest number of organic farms out of any state in the nation, which is quite an accomplishment. So organic farming is a big part of our agricultural landscape. And organic farming supports a lot of smaller family farms that do supply into local markets. So it's a big part of our rural economies. It's a big supporter of keeping farms in family businesses and keeping people in farming. So UW-Madison has been committed to supporting organic farming and helping those farmers be able to be successful in organic farming. And again, having that translate into economic security, not only for the family, but for our rural economies, which we really want to continue to see thriving throughout the state. So our series of field days, these are grain focused. We have a lot of organic vegetable farms, but what we are focusing on within this series that you mentioned is grain farming. So anything from corn to soybeans to wheat to rye, and a lot of those grains not only go to feed our livestock industry, including our organic dairy industry, which again, Wisconsin is a leader, not only in dairy generally, but in organic dairy, but also going into products that we get to enjoy too at our dining room tables. Breads and pastries, and even beer and spirits, which is the focus of some of our field days.
You didn't mention barley, and I thought, well,
barley is in there too. So we do produce organic beer.
So I'm thinking about the sales. I was looking at some numbers on the sales of organic products. And it was over $71 billion. You can talk about that.
Yes, yeah. So we've had a certified, a USDA certified organic program since 2002, so almost over 20 years now of a federal regulation. So we've had data collected since 2002 to measure the growth in the organic industry and measure consumer demand. And despite the ups and downs of our economy and the challenges that consumers face in terms of grocery store prices and just increased food prices in general, organic still continues to grow. Consumers are maintaining and growing their interest in organic, choosing organic not only for the interest in their own family's health, but also the health of the environment. So indeed, organic sales have reached over the threshold that that you mentioned. So we're seeing a continued consumer demand, and again, a reflection of consumers' interest in being able to support the benefits that organic provides.
And I'm seeing, I think the trend was something like 4% at least every year increase in sales of products, organic products. So a steady increase across time.
Indeed, which again, I think really reflects consumer commitments, because we've certainly within that time frame experienced recessions and some economic challenges as a country. So the fact that we are seeing that continued increase is really a reflection of the interest of consumers to supporting organics.
So the field days are organized by your group, the Organic Grain Resource and Information Network, or OGRAIN, which mm-hmm. you lead. Talk about that organization itself, its mission, and that sort of thing.
Yes. So as well as being a professor in the College of Ag and Life Sciences, I'm also supported by the Division of Extension. So the OGRAIN program is an extension program. UW Extension have been helping farmers for over a century now, and OGRAIN is continuing that mission of supporting our farmers throughout the state. So within the OGRAIN program, we help to connect farmers with the research we do at the university, not only the research within my program, but also research done by other faculty, anywhere from breeding for organics, breeding cereal grains for organic production, which is going to be part of the emphasis this evening at our West Madison Research Station, looking at how to manage diseases organically, looking at how to be able to manage our soils that align with the federal regulation for organic production. So we have a lot of research that we're able to communicate through our OGRAIN programming. And we also are a way for farmers to connect and build community. Farmers learn a lot from other farmers. Farmers are experts in their own right and generate so much information and data from their years of experience farming. So a big part of what we do is create space and community for farmers to connect with other farmers. And that's a big emphasis of our field days as well, allowing a space for farmers to get onto other organic farmers' farms and see what they're doing and learn something new from those that are doing it and doing it well.
You know, the focus this year, I kind of like the focus, it's resilience and diversification. Mm-hmm. How are these important issues for organic farmers?
Yeah, I mean, I think as we reflect over our past several springs, we've swung from having droughts to having excessive rains to having cool temperatures. So there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of the weather that we can expect from year to year. And that can be a challenge for farming. If we have a delay of getting into the field, delays in terms of our ability to manage weeds and insects and diseases, it can be a challenge for farmers to be able to have the productivity that they need to stay economically viable. So a big part of what we're trying to do with our research is to learn more about how can farmers create systems, specifically organic farmers in the case of the OGRAIN program, that buffers them from some of the negative impacts of the weather uncertainty and the ups and downs of the weather that we've been experiencing experiencing over the last decade or even more. So that's a big piece of the resilience, is the production resilience, but that directly translates to the financial resilience and making sure that those farms are economically viable. And again, a big emphasis of keeping our rural economy strong and keeping people farming on the landscape that want to go into farming. We still have a lot of young people that want to get into farming, but we need to make sure that it's a profession that they can make a living to support themselves and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark in Wisconsin Dells has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Mark.
I've been waiting for 3 years to call in and talk about this. I have a crop insect, a large commercial field of corn and soybeans that are organic fields produced for people in Illinois for seed. And my concern is that there are thousands of acres, perhaps tens of thousands of acres, of our forest land that has been
Shucks, we lost Mark. That's too bad. Mark's a crop inspector for large commercial organic fields.
Oh wow!
I'm sorry we lost him. And I'm wondering if his comments related to if you have large organic farm fields producing crop or producing seed, is there an issue, or is there a problem with supply and demand here, is what I think he was going. Where I think he was going.
Yeah, it's in terms of supply and demand, and that's actually is a good segue into our diversification emphasis. So I could explain a little bit more of why we're emphasizing there. So with any sector of farming, we don't want to overproduce, because then our prices go down, and then we have challenges with that economic viability that is so critical to our rural economies and to the quality of life for our farming communities. So whereas corn and soybean are still a major part of the organic market, feeding not only our amazing organic dairies throughout the state, but the organic poultry industry and other parts of organic livestock production, diversification allows for farmers to be able to produce for market sectors where there may not be as much product being developed. And some of that is the cereal grains, the food that goes, or the product that goes into food grade consumption. So again, a lot of our emphasis is highlighting the research and what farmers are doing to move on beyond corn and soybean production, which again is an important part of our ag economy, including organic. But how can they grow other crops, including the barley and the rye and the mm-hmm. wheat and the oats, that allow their farms to be more resilient and allows them to be able to access additional markets, so that we don't get into a situation where we are oversupplying a certain sector and then prices are getting depressed.
Aaron Silva, our guest today, program leader for the Organic Grain Resource and Information Network, which is hosting UW-Madison's Organic Agriculture Field Days. It's great to have her with us. Questions for her or comments, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email to talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you along today as we take a look at what's going on in organic farming today, and specifically with our Organic Grain Resource and Information Network, which hosts the UW-Madison's Organic Agriculture Field Days. Erin Silva, our guest today. It's great to have her with us. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Mark in the Dells did call back. He said there are tens of thousands of acres of Wisconsin forest that's been converted for growing of organic crops. He's concerned too much of that is happening and is worried that production is low of these crops, not worth the environmental costs from the loss of the forest.
I'm not aware of that dynamic happening. I don't want to. I definitely like to learn more, but a lot of the farms that I'm aware of that are transitioning they've either been organic for decades and often transition because of a family illness. A lot of our farms in Wisconsin have been farming for generations. And as sometimes there's a grandfather or a father that has been farming and is passed away from cancer, and family members are concerned and they're looking for different ways of farming that might not expose family members to chemicals. Some are transitioning part of their fields or all of their land to organic because of market opportunities and the price premiums that tend to come with organic products, and looking at creating more opportunities for the next generation, and often multiple family members from the next generation. Sometimes we see farms that have cousins and brothers and sisters all wanting to continue on the land, and organic offers an opportunity for those multiple generations to maintain farming, which again translates into more vibrant rural communities. So I'm not aware of the dynamic of land being cleared to go into organic production, but again, farmers that are either expanding their organic operations that have been farming for decades or transitioning their land to provide additional opportunities or looking at a different way of farming.
Ed in McFarland, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Ed.
Hello. My question is on, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Kernza wheat variety, if you could talk about pluses and minuses of it, using it as a grain to bake with or utilize however else. I'm familiar with being able to bake with it. And then is it have a possibility of ever becoming commercially economically viable?
Yeah, those are great questions. And definitely are in the know about some up and coming farming innovations to be aware of Kernza. So Kernza is the commercial name for intermediate wheatgrass. So a lot of the cereal grains that we produce for our food production, including wheat and oats, they're annual crops. So they get planted every year, and they get harvested, and they get planted again. So typically, there needs to be some soil disturbance that's done, or there needs to be additional management to be able to plant that crop again every year. And that can cause some challenges to the sustainability and the environmental consequences of our farming systems, not only organic, but conventional as well. So the addition of perennial crops, crops that grow multiple years and they stay on the soil, they put down deep root systems. They are so important for our food production systems, including our dairy systems, to maintain our soil and our waterways that are so important for, especially Wisconsin, that really values our recreation and values our beautiful natural areas. So intermediate wheatgrass or Kernza has been developed by the multiple people have been involved in the development, but the Land Institute has been a major driver of the development, the research related to Kernza. And we have researchers at UW-Madison, and I think it'll be highlighted at the field day this evening, University of Minnesota and other land-grant researchers have been involved as well. So Kernza potentially offers a way to continue to produce grains that are so important for our diets, but in a way that will help improve our soils and protect our waterways. The challenge with Kernza is that it tends not to be as productive. It definitely has different profiles in terms of its quality and its potential for use. And we're still working as a farming and scientific community to understand how do we keep it productive in a way that we're able to maintain the productivity we get off of our annual crops. So in terms of the challenges, I know that there's a new variety that's going to be released soon at the University of Minnesota that's going to hopefully help address some of the issues with maintaining productivity of that Kernza variety. There's still a need for more market development. There are some companies that are producing Kernza beer. And there is some Kernza that's being used in various products, oftentimes mixed with other grains that are more typically used within our baking and production of different products that use cereal grains. So there are farmers that are growing it, especially those that are using livestock and have the opportunity to graze it or also use it for feed for the animals as well as potentially for human food. But it's still on a limited scale and probably isn't ready quite yet for being put out on a larger scale on fields. There's some market development that needs to be done as well, but an up-and-coming, exciting innovation, not only for organic farmers, but for conventional farmers as well.
Someone else wonders, do certified organic farmers need to test their soil for chemical infiltration more than traditional farmers?
Testing of the soil for chemicals is not typically part of the organic certification process. So within organic farming, to be a certified organic farmer, there is a 36-month transition period. So that land has to be managed for 3 years, 36 months before a product can be sold as organic. So you can't go directly from a field that's managed conventionally and plant something and sell it as organic. So there's time for that land to transition. And then there are strict regulations in terms of the products that a farmer can use. And that's regulated through a yearly inspection process where someone goes out, walks the fields, looks at the inventories on the farms, looks at all the receipts and products that the farmer has purchased. So it's a very rigorous but voluntary inspection process, voluntary in the sense that you don't have to be organic, but if you are organic, it's a regulation that you need to go through this process. So there's a lot of oversight in organic, but it's more of a process that relates to the practices that a farmer's doing and less on the testing of either the soils or the product itself. But because of the fact that the farmers are using very specific inputs, typically the products themselves are less exposed to chemicals, or there's less residue or presence of chemicals on the soils and product.
Let's talk about that field day this afternoon, because there's still time. I mean, there's 3 hours yet before the event starts. What are people going to find at the event, and again, where?
So the event is at our West Madison Agriculture Research Station. So it's just on the west side of the town. So not too far from the UW-Madison campus. Easy to find, the West Madison Agriculture Research Station. And the researchers will be taking participants out to the field and seeing the research, particularly with some of the breeding efforts, to look at developing crop varieties that are more adapted to organic management. So whether it be resilience to diseases and insects, or particularly have the qualities that consumers want in terms of flavor or the baking quality that our bread makers might want. So there's specific aspects that the breeders are looking for that are specifically geared towards organic farming and markets. So participants will be able to walk through the fields, hear about what the researchers have been doing, and be able to see those different varieties firsthand.
And the other field days, we've got other ones coming up in La Crosse. And could you run through where those other events are?
Yeah, so our July 17th field day is just north of La Crosse, not too far outside of that city. And that is on the McHugh farm. And the McHughs have been extremely innovative in their production practices. They have a fantastic composting operation that helps improve their soils. And they have diversified into specifically producing products for La Crosse distilleries. So the group will also be heading back into La Crosse to be able to sample some of those products firsthand. So that's one of our field days that really does span from the farm field to consumers. So that will be a fun day. And then August 19th at Otter Creek Farm, which is in the Driftless region. It's in Spring Green, Wisconsin. So beautiful, beautiful area of Wisconsin. And again, they're doing some great innovations to help protect our soil, to be able to introduce rye into the rotation, which is something that humans as well as livestock can eat, and a specific emphasis on soil health. And a big part of organic agriculture is protecting our soil, which then helps our productivity and also helps protect our environment. So fun field day there.
And where can people find more information on all of the field days? Because there's more of them.
There are. So if you Google O-Grain, you'll be able to come to our website. It's O-G-R-A-I-N, O-Grain, and you'll be able to find the information there.
Aaron, fun talking with you today. I'm sorry we don't have more time, but appreciate your efforts, your work first, and your efforts for these field days. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Always fun to be on.
Aaron Silva, program leader for O-Grain, the Organic Grain Resource and Information Network. Thanks to her, and thank you very much for joining in today and listening, and I hope you'll stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.